Don't record.
Actually, don't record.
He's not going to record.
Oh, please come in.
Don't forget to have a mic, mate.
I dabbled yesterday.
Right,
I know.
When
it comes to food,
when it comes to food,
you say that as well?
I was buying
it.
He told us it was okay.
I just told him, but don't forget to have a mic. The anti-climax of a Rosh Hashanah, it's very catchy, that you feel a little bit down, and I say to make sure. And don't think it's just a Lev Aryeh machla. It's a machla from all the yeshivas. It's a machla by everybody, from big to from head to toe, from big to small. Sidur Shalom used to call it golden ateg. Golden ateg means golden days. I say to me, Shuvah, the golden days, the days that are worth millions. And I just want to put together with this Murdoch and Meiser, Yankov Galinsky, who was a Mashkiach, who was a famous Maggid, who was lifted this year. He was an old Nevadic. I don't know if you know what Nevadic was. Nevadic was a fire, was a furnace of breaking your middas, breaking your not chapping aspire what the Welt sagt. You know, I'll tell you a story about Jan Galinsky, that every month in Nevada they have a different midda that they used to work on. Nevada was like, you call them fanatics and crazies, but they gave out big people. Even the Tosha people that came out of there, mamash. Those were the ones that survived in Siberia and stayed from all the years of the Vatican. And it was like a cult. They worked on their middas. And they tried to break different middas that they have. Take a seat, Rabbi. So, one month it was called Amitzus. Amitzus means not being scared of anything, right? Half the reason why we don't do certain things is because we're scared of our own shadow. We're scared of what Yen is going to say, we're scared of what this person is scared of. Nevadik, they worked the whole month on breaking fear. Breaking fear. Chomish Kamara for nobody, Ened Mavadik, except for the Rebbeinu Shlomo. So you had to do something that was so crazy to sort of break that guy in. So they always used to say a joke that the Vatican used to walk into a makolet and ask for a piece of wood. You know what I mean? You sell wood. You know, like to make themselves, it's not 100% true, but there is truth in the story. So Yankov Galinsky decided, how's he going to break fear? He said, you know what? He's going to go to the mikveh in the Tahira room by the Beis HaKodesh at 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, in those days, there was no lights. So imagine going down into the valley, right, without being stoned, right, where you were thinking with your foal, right, and you went down into the valley at 2 o'clock in the morning, pitch black, and you walked for half an hour to the end of the valley. And at the end of the valley, there's a Beis HaKvaros over there. In those days, the Beis HaKvaros, by the Beis HaKvaros used to be a big room. Today, they still have it, but they've wrapped it up. There's a Tahara room there. At the end of the Levaya, they take you in, and that's when they do the Tahara. Tahara means cleansing the nets and putting on the mikveh, and then putting on his tachrichim. So, he wanted to break this fear. You break that fear, you're not scared of anybody, you can start thinking about Einod Movado de Rebbeinu Shlomo. So he was a kid then of 16, 17. A little kid of 17. You know, he didn't have any weed to keep him, all cool, all great, so he went along as a little kid, and he went to the end of the town, and he gets to the Beis HaKvaros. And his heart is pumping away. And I don't know if you know, you know, people are scared, you know, there's a lot of shadim and a lot of different ruches hanging around the Sakvaras, and who knows who's in the mikveh. Anyway, he decides, you know, he's going to break his middah, and he's going to go all the way to Beis HaKfaros, and he's schwitzing away, you know, breaking this clue in him. Nothing to be scared of except the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. He gets to the mikveh. It's pitch black. He opens the door, you know, these old doors that creep. He gets undressed. And, you know, he has these visions of seeing people, you know, in the mikveh, you know. I mean, it's pitch black. As he goes down into the mikveh, he feels that he's standing on somebody's head. Anyway, he froze. And when I read the story the first time, I was pushed on the floor laughing. Because you have to know Rabbi Yanko Galinsky to imagine the story. He was a small, I mean, even at 90, he was, you know, he was this height. He was a very funny man as well. You know, he once tangled that his brochas worked better than Chaim Kanievsky's. He went to Chaim Kanievsky to wish him a good year. He told Chaim, "I'll give you a bracha and you give me a bracha." So he told Reb Chaim, "You should be a Talmud Chacham." Reb Chaim says, "You should be a Talmud Chacham." He said, "Give a cook, my bracha worked and his bracha didn't work." Reb Yanko is very, very funny. The kitzur, so he gets this, and so he went under the water and he sees this, like, body come straight up. And he comes up from the water, he sees this white face, white as a, you know, like this thing, and he ran for his life. Didn't even dry himself, he just about got dressed and ran for his life all the way back to Yeshiva. He gets back to Yeshiva, he couldn't sleep a whole night, you know. He was doing in the hair. Anyway, comes down to after davening, breakfast, and sees a bocha over there who was looking very, very down. So he went over to him and he says to him, "What's your problem? You know, why are you looking so depressed?" He says, "I don't know." He says, "I wanted to break this middah of amitzus." I came up with this idea, and I went to the mikveh, and walked all the way to town, and while I'm under the water, I see this body come down. And I'm still shaking. And Bianca just kept quiet and said, you know, that was Nevada. That was Nevada. Anyway, Bianca had his Yumei Sinner. He was learning then in a Krinka. He had his Yumei Sinner. He was feeling down and learning didn't go. In those days, in order to be in the Chazuk, they didn't send you to a bar to chill out. They sent you to Nevadik. Go to Nevadik, go for a few weeks, and get some chizuk over there. Then you're walking over there and you'll get... They'll warm you up and you'll get back into it. So, Bianca goes with a letter, he walks into the Rosh Hashiva, the Ron Gaffin, he reads the letter and he says, "Okay." He says, "I'll tell you the truth. I've got nothing to say to you. How can I speak to you? You've got to go to this shul, take a candle. There's a shul around the corner called this Medrash Liber Rochel. Go around there, take a Musa Sefer, and go into there. It's Nashim. It's dark, pitch dark. Take your candle and sit there and learn for 2 or 3 hours, Musa. Those days they learned Musa, they started over there with a Nigan. I don't know if you ever heard the Nigan. It was a special Nigan. How they learned Musa, and used to chaz it over the same line 10 times, 20 times until the person felt that it's having an effect on him." They say over from the altar from Kelm, Jina says, "Truly, he once said over, Hischini Shari Tzedek Ovei Vomei Derko for 7 hours straight." He learned this pasuk over and over again with the Bechias. He said, "Afterwards, when you finish learning Musa, come back to me, then I'll be able to speak to you." Okay, so he goes to this shul. It's night, it's pitch black. He opens the door of the shul. You know, one of these old creaky shuls that you find sometimes on the east side, and I'm like, I'm all over the shul. He He goes in and he sees a light coming from the Ezra's nostrils. And he hears a voice. He goes upstairs and he listens to the voice. And hears the guy saying this Gemara. Gemara with the Gemara. Yanka Galinsky said this over in a Hespet. I'll tell you who the Hespet was on, but he put it down so well. Yanka had a melodical way of presenting things. He said it with a word, with a curl, niggun of a Musa. He said over Gemara. He said, this Bocha was sitting upstairs, and there's a Moshe by himself with a candle, and he was saying it with his Gemara. Omalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda. Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, Shinana. Shinana means you're a sharp guy. Chatoif v'ochal. Grab and eat. Chatoif v'ishti. Grab and drink. The Alma da'ozlinamine. This world that we are going to go away from, kihilule dom, is like a chasma. Chatoiv va'ochal, grab what you can get and eat. Chatoiv v'ishti, grab and drink. The alma da'ozlinamine, this world that we're going to go away from, we're not here forever, ki hiluladom, he's like a chasna. And he heard this bocha saying it over again. Chatoiv va'ochal, grab. Chatoiv v'ishti, grab again, drink. The alma da'ozlinamine, it's a world that we're going to depart from. We're not here forever. Ki hiluladom is like a chasna hall. What's a chasna hall? Today there's a party, tomorrow it's all over. This is what he went on and on. He said, Rabbi Yanka Galinsky said, I stood there for half an hour. He's bocha, the singing over this Gemara with a pillar, nigam, chatoy v'achol, chatoy v'shte, the almodos linamine, the world that we're going to part from, ki hiluladom is like a chasna hall. We're here today, we're not here tomorrow. Grab everything you can get hold of. You walk into a chasna hall, grab as much as you can from the bar. Grab as much as steak as you can get. Because you wait an hour or two, it's not there anymore. The tables are all cleaned up. Over. You come early, get yourself a good place, get to the bar, chatoy ve'ashte, drink, chatoy ve'achol, get your place by the table. They're giving top steaks over here by this chasna. Chatoy ve'achol, because in another hour, it's all over. This is the moshul of Olam Hazeh. Chatoy ve'achol, chatoy v'shaseh. The alma doz ninemine, the world that we are going to part from. We're not here forever. Ki hiluladom, it's like a chasna. And he said it over and over and over again. And Rabbi Yankel, when he said the hesped, he said it with a niggum. He said, the Olam gevein, the Olam cried over there. He said, put it down so well, and he said it over the way they said it. The Hespet was on the stipe. He said, when I walked into that, I didn't know who he was, but it was a bocha. He was called Yaakov Yisrael from Homer Stipe. And this was what he was doing. This is what he was doing, chatoy v'achol, and he was chazering it over for half an hour. He said, this is the Gemara. He said, it went into my bones, it went into me. He said, just the way he sang it, for half an hour. He said, from that, Chatoy V'achol became the stipler. That's where the stipler grew. That's where he became the God Lador, the Kodesh Yisrael, what he was, the Kilas Yankov that everybody uses, the Kodesh and Torah that everybody knew he was. And people were scared to walk into his room because he saw right through you. This was the stipler. This is what the Yankov said by the stipler's revival, by the Hesed. He said, this was the stipe for 50, 60, 70 years ago. When I was a boch of 16, 17, he says, and I was told to be mechazik myself. I didn't know he was there, but I went in, and he was the boch of sitting in the corner, and he was chazing over this Gemara. Hi, Damir, chatoif, chaparayim, grab, va'achol and eat. Chatoif, grab, eat and drink. The alma doz linamane, we're living in a world that we're not here forever. In 100 years' time, all of us is going to be one big mound. Long forgotten, most of us are going to be eaten up. There'll be nothing left. Chatoi va'achol, chaparayim. Because this is the almodos lingering, this world that we're going away from. Kehiluladom is like a chasnahol. Remember, it's a chasnahol. Within 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, over. No remembrance of it. Chatoi va'achol, chaparayim. Grab whatever you can get hold of. He said, that's when I turned around. He said, listen to this bocha. He says, 50 years later, I'm saying over the Gemara on a Hesped, who he's the Gadol HaDor today, on this Gemara. This is where he grew from. This is how he became the statue. Because he understood, we're not here forever. You've got to be chatoi va'achol, chaparayim. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about next week. Don't worry about what's going to be in 3 years' time, in 5 years' time. How are you going to? Chatoi va'achol, chaparayim. Because this world, the almodos linamine, this world that we're going away from, kihiluladom is a chasnahol. We're not here forever. We're not here forever. And all your plans, all the big plans, you say in Halleluka. It's scary. It's scary. And every time I think about it, my good friend, and if you've read the book Shlomi, and if you knew the story, and if you remember it, 51 years old, on top of the world, from the richest Jews around, I don't know if he was from the richest Jews, from the biggest Balistoka, he gave 80% of his money away. I don't know if he was from the richest Jews, but he gave most of his money away. Everybody, you know, he was the most wanted man. Teitzei Ruchoi, and he dropped dead playing tennis on a Friday afternoon. Remember, there's a book in the library called Shlomi, all about him. Teitzei Ruchoi, Yoshev Ladmosei. His Ruchoi goes out. No air left in him. Yoshev Ladmosei goes back to his ground. By Yom Ahu, on that day, Avdu Shemesov. What is Avdu Shemesov? You say this every day. All his plans have gone out the window. But he was going to do, will be, every plan he has, every plan of this place out the window. What you're left with? Whatever you grab. Chatoi va'achol, whatever you grab, you all are going to be leaving this world. And it's not going to make a difference whether I went to college, how much money I made, how many cars I have, how many houses I own, how it looks for the oilon. You're going to be left on your own, and you're going to have to answer, and you're going to have to say, who are you? How much Torah did you learn? How many mitzvahs did you do? Din v'cheshbon and everything. Chatoi v'achol, chatoi v'ishter. Chaparayim. The almodos v'inamine, the world that we're going to part from, is like a chasno. Of this nice of all your plans, big plans. You know, when we're young, Chazmish wanted a Meredith divorce. It's such a pity that the decision of whether you're going to come the next Rabbi Akiva Eiger was up to a 14-year-old kid. The prophet used to say, youth is such a beautiful thing, it's a pity it was given to young people. We don't appreciate it. And we look at, we go through that kilo. I'll work it out. It's okay. There's a chevra out there of shtabas. You know, yes, people do die, but it has nothing to do with me. There's a chevra bali stocker, and there's a chevra this, and there's a chevra that. There's also a chevra that died. Nothing to do with me. By Yemahu, all the plans go out the window. And what you're left with? Shuvah nice and table. Whatever you got to show for yourself, what are you going to show for yourself? 2 lines in the Gemara? A half-baked putting on Hanukkah's thrill? That's what we're going to come upstairs with. Hai alma debehi luladomi. This world that we're leaving is like a chasnahol. Chatoi va'achol, you've got to grab as much as you can. The hardest time, and the best time, and the easiest time, yet the hardest time. Whether it's as man, whether there's so much kedusha, though there's so much tumma. You will see the sotan every minute of a Sersi made tshuva. Every minute is worth millions. The koyach of a yochid in his tefillah has the same power as a tzibur. You understand that when you say one kapitul tehillim by yourself in a room, locked up, just you and God talking, is like as if you're sitting saying it with a whole minion of 100 people. That's how powerful we have the power to in the day. And yet, 3 more days to Yom Kippur. Today is already Tuesday, we're talking about Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. 3 more days. 3 more days. So let's not talk about the big picture of life. Let's talk about 3 more days. Chatoy va'achol, chaparayim, chatoy v'ishter. It's passing by. The Ribbono Shel is here. He wants to see something. He wants to see some vankite in Yiddishkeit. Shiloh asani goy, when I say every day, the Chavetz Chaim used to say, I check every eva, how Yiddish is it? Or how fagoyst am I? Shiloh asani goy doesn't mean I didn't become a, I'm not, Baruch Hashem, Ribbono Shel made me, I'm not a goy. Shiloh asani goy means, how much am I not a goy? Let's think about it. Let's not talk about the big picture. 3 more days. Golden attack. Every day is worth millions. The prayer of tefillah. A mitzvah. Showing the Ribbono Shel Olam that I am machshir, that there's a Yom HaKodesh coming up. Just to show some sort. And the satan will come along. Not chas v'shalom, he's not going to make you do a terrible avera. He'll just make you that the day will pass without even you realizing that the day went by without doing nothing. Here, he doesn't need any bigger veils. As long as you don't chap around the Kedushas Hayoyim, that's good enough for him. He doesn't need a real Kashmir. He doesn't need you guys to go down to Ben Yehuda. He doesn't need you guys to get drunk. He doesn't need you guys to jerk off. He doesn't need nothing. He needs one thing. Just let the days go by without you doing anything. Just like you're on cruise, you know? And when it hits Friday night, suddenly will be the Kol Nidre, I'll suddenly wake up, whoa, where'd I be? And then you'll stop dying. That's okay for the stop, he's got no problem with that. That's great. Because what am I coming to Yom Kippur with? What am I going to walk into Ne'ilah with? With what? With what? What did you show the Ribbono Shel Olam between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur? That I gave you 10 days, I gave you 7 days between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur to show the Ribbono Shel Olam 6 days, to show the Ribbono Shel Olam that I understand that there's a Yom HaKodesh coming along, and I'm going to show the Ribbono Shel Olam some sort of respect by giving some sort of showing him that I know you're in town, and I know Dush Hashem be Motzei Karu B'Yesek, call him when he's B'Yesek Karu, when he's close to us. Eila Seresi Me'at Tshuva. Those are the 10 days where the Ribbono Shel Olam says, just throw me a left hook. Throw it to me, I'll catch it. Just throw me something. During the year, it's much harder. Much harder. Then you've got to really work hard to be accepted by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yeah? It's the easiest days. And the Satan is so scared that we might do something. We might actually do something. We might actually learn something. We might actually daven something. We might actually machshav an amen yehishmei rabba, an amen. One amen. Do you know how much that's worth? Millions. The belly has a murder because wrote on an amen. What an amen is worth. That if the whole world was created for one person to say amen, we'll change your belly. Because that's a tachlis abriya. To be mekadosh, to be mekadosh shem shemayim. That we should, that we should be yakira v'yedu, we should all recognize that Hashem who are the king. One amen. And a one amen yehishmi. And then Rebellion says, and it all doesn't come close to one word of Torah. Van Leib has a shmooze that Bochum, talks about Bochum after Shia, before they come into Mincha, so they're shmoozing outside, and they need a cigarette, and they need this. and they miss the first kaddish a lot of times. He says, they don't get it. He says, they're throwing away millions and millions of dollars. One amen, by the way, Rebbe Yishan is worth millions. Yankee Galinsky said over once that he had a brother-in-law that went through Siberia for 5 years, and he made a cheshbon every day of how many amens and amen yishmei rabbi he's missing. Right, there was no minyan in those days in Siberia. He came out and he had the cheshbon exactly of how much he was missing, and every day he went to the shtiglach, and for an hour or two a day went from one minyan to another to catch up on the amen and amen yishmei rabbi. So this guy had worth millions, I missed it for a few years. I want to hop around the omens to catch up. We're going to come upstairs, and the Rebbe Shlomo is not going to give any din v'cheshbon. He's going to ask one question. Without being a tzaddik, 3 tefillahs a day, you should have had this amount of omens, and this amount of Baruch Hu Baruch Shomois, and this amount of Amen Yehishmei Rabos. Where are they? We're not talking about Averus. Where's the omens? Where's the Kiddush Shem Shemayim? Where's the Yizkadal V'Yizkadal Shmei Rabbo? Where's the Enoid Mulvadeh? Where's the Aleinu Neshabeach? That's what we're talking about. That's Malchias. And that's what we're going to be screaming by Ne'ilah. Of the Shema Yisrael. That's all what Amin is all about. Keil Melech Ne'eman. That's the Rosh Tevis of Amin. Amin means Emes. Whatever the bracha was, it's Emes. And forget about Din V'Cheshvon of Averus. Just there's a certain amount of tefillahs you go through your life. There's a certain amount of amens you should have answered. There's a certain amount of amen yishmei rabos. Where are they? Without going out of your way, chas v'shalom, of doing extra, or being the didactic of mitzvahs, or averas, we're not even talking about it. It's worth millions. And the Yetzer Hara does one thing to us. It's something. There's a Yemeya Sinner comes, there's a certain, we feel, it says to make sure that everyone on their Madrega feels like it's slipping out of our hands. Without us realizing, he doesn't need us to do big averas. He doesn't need us to see this, or to see that, or to do that, or to go here, or to go there. Just like we'll go through the day, it just slips through our hands without doing anything. We'll miss a mincha without even realizing it. And I wasn't doing anything terribly wrong. It just like slipped out. Make a chashon and nefesh, you'll see. Between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, nobody's doing any big averas. The biggest avera, that's slipping through our hands. And that's, he's smart about that. He knows how to get it. He knows how when you're suddenly going to make a chashon and nefesh on Friday, Erev Yom Kippur, walking into Kol Nidre and you look back over the week, how many minutes did I learn? How many did I manage to do? 15 minutes without any bit of Torah? Did I make one full minyan during this week, from the beginning to the end? Did I answer every omen? Did I take off my tefillin before the end of davin to show the Rebbe Yishlom that I'm machshit tefillah, and if I kept it on? Did I have kavanah when I said Amin Yishmei Rabbo? And the Gemara says, Amin Yishmei Rabbo Chol Peichud. 70 years of Gezeirah Ra could be wiped out. 70 years could be wiped out. You'll become a Shem Shemayim, Ben Yishmei says, you'll have it good now. One Amin Yishmei Rabbo, what you can do. Ma'avirin like kol Gezeirah. Get rid of all the Gezeirahs with one Amin Yishmei Rabbo. You want to walk into Yom Kippur. You want to have a walk away from Yom Kippur clean. You want to walk away from Yom Kippur. Forget about the Olam Haba, the Olam Hazeh. There's a din. How much of a year we're going to have? How much Pemotah we're going to have? How Gishmak are we going to learn? Are we going to enjoy life? Are we going to feel accomplished? Are we going to feel good within ourselves? All this is going into the din. Eventually going to look around and say, well, let's see. In the last week, did he make an Amen Yishmei Rabbo? In the last week, did he show something? And we're on cruise. We're all on cruise, including myself. We're all on cruise. We're like, if I make one right move, so by the way, So I did something. The Sultan is numb, is like, he's making sure that we deaden our sensitivities. This is the nicer Sultan of Assassinate Shuri. Assassinate Shuri is such a golden attack. We've got to hazard it over. It's golden attack. These are golden days. And these are days where the Ribbono Shel Olam is willing. You could change so much of your life. By a tefillah, by an extra tefillah, by a one omen yehishmira, by our omen, by being mekabel half an hour a day, I learn without any disturbance, without getting up in the middle, without any little Torah. Just to show the Ribbono Shel Olam that I know what it is. I know what it's about. You know what? If you've got patience, I think it would be a very good idea that we learn together one piece in Shari Tshuva of Hadarach HaChamisha Vaseresi Meit Tshuva. Whoever wants to stay can stay. I'm not forcing anybody.